And now, a man who can't wait to watch Tanner Groves go number one overall, Todd Lebo.
I think he's coming back.
Oh, is he?
I think he might have an eighth year of eligibility. Settle down. The Groves Bros are back, baby.
I just looking at the roster going, who could I use for that?
Yeah. You know, Oklahoma's had an overall number one pick. It's not some sort of a joke, okay?
Umoja Gibson? Yeah, he had Blake Griffin.
You know, he left. Umoja Gibson took an NIL deal somewhere else, I think.
That's right. Jordan Goldwire.
Right you are, Curtis. Tanner Groves, number one. I'll be waiting, listening to Sports Radio 810 tonight at 6 o'clock, hoping that that happens, or hoping he comes back to school. I think he's coming back. I'm not exactly sure. Who knows in today's world of transfer portal and NIL if anyone's going to be back at their school.
Some big doings on that regard.
Check me on today. The day your team plays their first game on who's on your team.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it goes. And then they may not be on your team a little bit later. But
no.
Day of game, who's on your team? My name is Todd Lebo. I'm in for Seren Petro. Off today and tomorrow. He's got the number one draft pick in the Braille Challenge in his family. Brooke Petro, they're out bringing home some more hardware, hopefully. Good luck to Brooke as she has dominated this competition over the years, and they're out there now getting that done today. I haven't heard. They just traveled today, so I think the thing starts tomorrow. But good deal there for him. So Seren is out today and tomorrow. I will be here. Curtis will be here. Adam will be here, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. I'll let you know what's happening on the show today. It's a little bit different than normal. We do have the NBA draft tonight at 6 o'clock. Normally in the 5 o'clock hour, we have Jeff Passan on from ESPN. He's going to be on the 2 o'clock hour. So we're going to talk baseball in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll have Stump the Chumps. We're bringing in a ringer, not just Peter Yates Enoch.
No.
Also, Shane Yates Summers is coming in with a stack of questions about the Avs and K-State, I think
Shane
is what
Aru.
He said. He'll be in. Blair Kirkhoff with the KC Star.
He should be happy about both teams today.
He'll love it all.
Avs up 3-1.
Loves it.
K-State inking Dylan Edwards.
Yes.
Happy
it's a
guy.
Good day for him. He's bouncing around the walls here. Blair Kirkhoff with the KC Star will be in here. We'll talk about a wide range of topics with him. We'll tell you what you need to know at 5 o'clock. And at 5:20, instead of passing, we're going to do NBA draft stuff there with Matt Norlander from CBS. And then we'll turn it right over to ESPN's coverage of the NBA draft, which should be a lot of fun. There's a lot of local tie-ins here.
Yeah.
I don't think we're waiting long for drafts. I mean, Andrew Wiggins went number one. There's no Jayhawk number one, okay?
No.
But it looks like we got a lottery pick here in Ochai Agbaji, which is even better because he's a Kansas City kid who spent years at K-State and cut the nets down. I mean, this is really kind of an amazing culmination for he and his family to get drafted in the lottery. I just hope that he gets drafted somewhere that's not awful. And if it is awful, I hope he gets traded, which those can all happen in one night in the NBA draft. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And
when they put the hats on the guys, and then you're like, well, I don't know why you're doing this.
Yeah, don't cinch that in too tight.
We already know you've been traded.
just lay the hat on your head and then pass it off to the next guy.
Don't mess up your hair.
So a few things we want to hit on. We're not going to go real long here in the opening because we do have Passan waiting in the wings. He's waiting right now for the phone call. I know he desperately wants to talk to me. Adam, did you tell him that I'm hosting and he didn't back out, or is he expecting Seren?
No, I'm going to let that be a nice, pleasant surprise.
Nice surprise. He may hang up, so we could be still talking at 5:20 or at 2:20. We'll see how that works out. A couple of things from last night. I know it's already 2 o'clock, so a lot of these things have been discussed. Shohei Ohtani is just incredible, absolutely amazing. And we'll talk with Passan about him and what he's done the last two nights. Just incredible. I mean, you don't hit two home runs and drive in eight runs and then just turn around. And, you know, while you're hitting, batting two, you know, not you're just down at the bottom of the order. You're batting two and striking out 13 people.
Later when we get into with Jeff, I have a literary precedent for Shohei.
It's something is what it is. So we will talk a lot of baseball, obviously, with Jeff Passan there. But that was incredible last night. Royals are off today. They're going to be home this weekend. They've got the A's, which is good news. They beat the A's twice, right? Come on. Let's go. Beat the A's.
They're 4-16 in series finales, but
that's not
won
great.
The last two series.
They did. And they lost the last two finales and didn't score either one of them either. They really know how to get the brooms out and not score. You're not going to win a game if you don't score. It doesn't happen very often. Well, it does happen too often for them that they don't score. That's not very good. Last night, Sporting KC did exactly what you're supposed to do in the U.S. Open Cup. When you're playing someone from two divisions down, you go out and you put it on them. And I'll give Omaha credit. They had a lot of fans down here. It was a good crowd last night at Children's Mercy Park. And they forced the action. They didn't come in to sit around. They're like, we're playing in Kansas City. We got our fans down here. We're not going to lay back here and hope for nothing to happen. They were pressing the ball and doing all the things you're supposed to do to try to win, and they probably should have stopped doing that, and it might not have been 6-0. But Sporting KC won that exactly like they were supposed to do, and I think this is an important time for them. I know Seren talked to Peter earlier this week, Peter Vermees, the manager, and they're putting a lot into this because the regular season, they're not giving up on it, but the regular season is going to be a chore to get back in that kind of playoff race. But right now, all you got to do is go win a couple games, and you can, you know, win the U.S. Open Cup and put another date on the wall out there. And they were awesome last night, all around.
Curtis, what number U.S. Open Cup are they going for?
Fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
So they will, and they're going to. The draw is today on the. I think it's a little bit later tonight on exactly what's going to happen, where the game's going to be. I can't imagine they're not going to get to be at home against Sacramento.
Yeah.
But if they have to go to Sacramento, well, I don't know where they'll play. High school out in Sacramento? I don't know. I'm not running down Sacramento Republic, all right? But that was a great, great performance from Sporting KC. Curtis already mentioned that K-State picked up a big commitment from a kid from Derby, Kansas, one of the fastest players in the country. Dylan Edwards
Legacy.
Is going to go to – right now he's committed, hasn't signed. We always have to say this. As we just mentioned, you don't know how long a player is going to be at your school. So you don't know just because they committed if they're going to sign. But I think the kid's going to sign. That was a big pickup for them.
Yeah.
But far down the scale of the seismic reverberations running through college football, that Arch Manning, who has been talked about for years out of New Orleans, is going to Texas. Now this Arch Manning is the grandson of Archie Manning, nephew of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. This is Cooper Manning's, the oldest Manning boy's son. And he's a highly touted recruit, five-star recruit, all of the bit. And he was Alabama, Texas. I mean, a lot of pull for Ole Miss to get back. I mean, that's the legacy. That's where Grandpa went. That's where Dad or Uncle went. And that's where his dad went to school, too, because he
played there.
My family's
always gone to school.
Right. But he chose Texas.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing for Texas. Now, this is not the only high-profile quarterback recruit Texas has ever gotten in the last 20 years, okay? So they've gotten a lot of these guys. And just because you're the number one pro-style quarterback in the country doesn't mean you're going to be hoisting a trophy in January. But it helps to have the best players.
You don't usually host that trophy without one.
Right. Well, maybe not just at quarterback, lots of positions.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to know that Brody Croyle was the overall number one pro-style quarterback in the country when he came
out. I'm saying you don't usually hoist that trophy if you don't have a top quarterback.
Yes. But I was looking through a list of these before. And tell me which one of these you think are like the greatest quarterbacks ever. I'll give you some good ones. Jameis Winston.
Won
it all, right?
Yes,
did that. Vince Young.
Won it all.
Won it all. Did that. Matthew Stafford just won it all, but didn't really do it at Georgia.
Not at Georgia.
He didn't do it there. But, you know, Mark Sanchez. But then you got your Rhett Bomars and Matt Barkley's and there, a guy named Phillip Sims, who was the overall number one quarterback who went to Alabama.
Yeah.
It's not Phil Sims.
Not Phil Sims.
Not Phil Sims. Kyle Allen. Someone named Max Brown, who went to USC. Josh Rosen, who he's played for five teams but didn't win any games. Brock Berlin. Remember, he was big stuff in Florida, but he didn't win anything either. So Rhett Bomar, my favorite, of course, he got kicked out of college because they were not going to work. All would have been fine now. Could have had an NIL deal with Big Red Imports. Would have been easy. Could have done those things. So we'll see how it goes. But that's a big deal for Texas and Steve Sarkisian. Now, here's the other thing to think about. You don't probably even remember this happened, but do you remember the kid who was the number one quarterback in the country, was supposed to be this year's quarterback, reclassified and went to Ohio State so he could go make some NIL money?
A kid
named Quinn Ewers, who went to South Lake Carroll. That is Chase Daniel, his high school, and among others. Greg McElroy, lots of guys have gone to South Lake Carroll. Quinn Ewers already transferred out of Ohio State. You know where he is now?
Texas.
University of Texas. So now, not only do they have last year's number one, they got next year's number one, and we'll see if those two can coexist and both be at the same place. It's a little bit reminiscent of A few years ago, Spencer Rattler was the number one like quarterback, and then Caleb Williams was the number one quarterback, and now neither one of them is at Oklahoma, and neither one of them won a title at Oklahoma, but they're all off somewhere else. So this is big for Texas to get that done. Yeah, Quinn Ewers will probably go somewhere else, or else maybe Arch Manning won't go there, or where they'll both be there and whatever. Now, Arch Manning won't be there this year. He's still got high school to play, okay? So it's just wild, man. I mean, recruiting is crazy. It used to be crazy, and it's even crazier now because of all of the things that are in play with trying to make some money on your own and all that kind of stuff. So wild stuff happening there. We're going to go ahead and take our first break of the day because we have Jeff Passan coming up next. We're going to talk to him plenty about Curtis's Kansas City Royals and how they can't ever finish the series. But I do want to talk to him about Shohei because Ohtani is unbelievable, and that was what he's done the last couple of days is absolutely incredible. Jeff Passan from ESPN Talking Baseball coming up next on the program.
Husband, father, Elmo impersonator?
Yeah!
He wrote the arm and is currently writing its follow-up, the leg. He has everyone's phone number, even yours. He's MLB insider Jeff Passan of ESPN, only on the program.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Sorin Petro, courtesy Bolt, alongside Adam Gervetta here as well. Jeff Passan from ESPN joins us now. Good afternoon, Jeff. I hope we didn't surprise you by not having Sorin here. Hope you're not disappointed.
Disappointed? This is an upgrade. I love it.
That's not true. Not true. Hey, first off, let's talk about what the Royals fans, if you stayed up late enough, witnessed the last couple of nights and with Shohei Ohtani. Just absolutely incredible. Historic what he's done the last couple. It's historic what he's doing, just pitching and batting and doing what he's doing. But the performance he's put on the last couple of nights is just absolutely incredible. Can you put this into any sort of context for us that makes any sense at all?
He's just a parlor trick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Anyway.
I must admit, I was slightly disappointed that Petro wasn't on today because I knew we were going to be talking about Ohtani, and I knew I could bring that back. And I will always bring it up. And listen, I know Soren's intentions when he used those words were not to diminish what Ohtani does. But what Ohtani does is unlike anything we have seen. It's unlike anything we will see. He is a unicorn. He is one of one. He is unique in every sense of the word because he is an elite hitter, and he is an elite pitcher. And seeing a guy on back-to-back nights go for two massive home runs and eight RBIs the first night and eight shutout innings with 24 consecutive, well, not 24 consecutive, but 24 batters faced over eight innings, 13 of them down via strikeout, it's absurd. It shows just how good of a pitcher he is, too. And to get one of those players, you feel fortunate. The Royals don't have a hitter like that. The Royals don't have a pitcher like that. To have both of them be the same person, we don't appreciate it as much as we should because I'm not sure people quite understand how to appreciate Shohei Ohtani. He's that much different from everyone else in every other sport. It's not just unique in baseball. I think it's unique in professional sports what he does and how incredible he really is. And we are privileged as fans of you know, the sport or even of a team to get to watch him go out and perform the way he does.
I think he is the real-life version of Bill Brasky. You know, the SNL skit where Will Ferrell and they're all sitting around, I remember Bill Brasky one time. I mean... Yep. He hit two home runs and drove in eight, and the next night he threw eight scoreless on two hits with 13 Ks. Here's to Bill Brasky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost what level, you know, it's almost absurd what he's doing. And I think one of the reasons, though, that he doesn't maybe get the run he deserves is because he hasn't done it, been able to do it, and he hasn't been around long enough, really. But the Angels, in their history, have not been particularly effective in the postseason. If he does that in the postseason... Imagine if he comes out in game one and does what he did Wednesday night or Tuesday night and then comes out in game two and does what he did last night. people would start to, I think, be able to appreciate Shohei Ohtani. But when you play on the West Coast, your team doesn't win. You haven't been in the postseason. It might take a little while longer than is necessary for people to really appreciate what he's doing.
Let's also acknowledge the sport he plays and its cultural resonance in 2022. Mm-hmm. Baseball's not what it once was.
Nope.
And, you know, this is there's a chicken and egg element to this, right? Like, what comes first? The guy doing incredible things and being recognized, or the sport being recognized just by a wider swath of people and them appreciating the guy who's doing incredible things? I don't know what the answer to that is. If Ohtani is not popular because of all of the elements that you just noted, where he plays, that he plays for a poor team, or that if it's just the sport he plays isn't what it once was. Either way, though, I think American sporting fans acknowledge how incredible Ohtani is. It's impossible not to, right?
Yeah.
Like, you look foolish if you sit there and say that this guy is an amazing athlete. But I think you have to be really attuned to the sport to understand the depth of how amazing it is. I mean, when you see a guy like him who's, let's say, hitting the way he does, hitters spend all of their time in the cage and working on their swing and trying to figure out, how do I become a great hitter? And that is a full-time job. Pitchers spend all of their time studying their mechanics, tweaking grips, looking over scouting reports on how to approach hitters. And that, too, is a full-time job. Shohei Ohtani has two incredibly demanding full-time jobs that somehow he balances with an amazing amount of aplomb and figures out how to do both of them at an extraordinary level. And listen, as a writer, I was taught for a long time and continue to think this myself when I'm writing stories. Do not rely on adjectives to describe things, because they're the softest, most flaccid language. And yet all I can do with Ohtani is throw adjectives out there to try and quantify what he's doing, because it's almost impossible to sit there without saying it's amazing, it's absurd, it's incredible, it's all of these things. Regular words do not do what he does justice.
No, 600,000 words in English language, and no matter which one you want to put on what he's doing, you read it and you go, nah, that doesn't quite tell the story. I mean,
not enough.
It's one thing to say, you know, the historical precedent for him obviously is Babe Ruth, but even he didn't do what he's doing at the same time.
Yeah.
There really is no historical precedent. And when you go back and say, well, it's Ruth, and he doesn't even fit the bill, you're truly are and people use the term uncharted territory way more often than they should. This is it right here.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably Bullet Rogan from the Negro League.
That's
probably the best. That's the best analog that we've got for Ohtani. And he was, you know, he was doing it against phenomenal players, don't get me wrong, but the level in the Negro Leagues versus the level of Major League Baseball players in 2022, when we have full integration, when we have players from around the world, it's complete apples and oranges. You just look at the talent today, and it's apples and oranges. And I know there's the whole debate of what would Babe Ruth be in 2022. You know, how good would he be? And there's a group of people who believe, and I don't think they're wrong, that if you took Babe Ruth, an untrained Babe Ruth, from 20 something, and put him in today, he would get blown away. I believe that. I also think that if you gave Babe Ruth the training that you have within, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year at latest, he would be an elite player. It's just a different era. I think great athletes transcend eras, but it is true, the competition he was facing pales in comparison to what Ohtani is today on both sides.
Yeah, I think much of Ruth's dominance was due to the fact that he had a specific skill set that was dominant at a time when the rest of the sports world had not been had not spent he did 50 or 60 years
without travel ball as an 8-year-old. I mean, can you imagine if Babe Ruth played on the U-8 team? I don't even know.
But Jeff, you pointed out earlier one of the reasons that the Ohtani isn't really getting the national credit is the condition of the game, because you know the Yankees are doing something that hasn't been seen in a long time. It's amazing, and they're in New York, and yet. I remember the 98 Yankees. That's all anyone talked about that summer, with the exception of, you know, if you weren't talking about McGuire and Sosa, it was the Yankees. And this team is essentially doing the same thing, and it doesn't get nearly the national talk that I remember those Yankees teams getting.
That's not even that many years ago.
Yeah,
that's interesting this morning, Jeff, on the Border Patrol. You know, Steven was talking about Ohtani. He was just blown away by what had happened the last couple of nights. And Marco, their producer and board op, is a 24-year-old kid. And they had intern Namdi was in here. He's 19 years old. And they didn't even really pay attention last night, because they were like, you know, I mean, they're at a sports radio station. It's kind of their job to know things. But they were interested in other things last night than baseball. And that is really baseball's problem, probably, right? That the 19-year-old who's an intern and a 24-year-old who works at a sports radio station, they're playing against the team. This isn't like he did this against the A's. Did it against the Royals, and it's partially because the Royals aren't very good, so people are kind of checked out. Partially because the Royals' TV thing makes it difficult for people to watch. Partially because baseball is what baseball is now, and they've just probably lost a generation and a half, maybe, of people to pay attention to it. It's not as exciting as they want or whatever, but this guy is exactly what you want. He is exciting, and he does do everything. And I don't know how they can fix that. And I don't think putting games on Apple TV on Friday night is going to get it done. So I don't know what the solution is going to be for baseball to kind of get back to where they are. This is something that they're talking about at the highest levels, though, right?
One would hope. Like, one would really hope. And the fact that, you know, people who are into sports are not paying attention to baseball when it's the NFL and NBA offseason. I know the, you know, there's a Stanley Cup game on last night. Maybe they were watching that. I don't know. The NBA draft is on tonight. But this is the time of the sports calendar, guys, where baseball should be dominating and where baseball should be the center of everything. And I was talking with somebody who's been in the industry for a long time and has ties to Kansas City, and was saying he feels like the public is completely checked out on the Royals at this point. And, you know, I'm too close to it to see that. And I'm not sure if he's right or not, but, you know, in local municipalities, when your team stinks, you run the risk of losing the whole sport in the area, because the Royals are the connection to Major League Baseball. And when they're good, it does inspire people to understand the sport better. And so I wonder if locally, at least, there's an element of the Royals have been so mediocre to bad since 2016 that there are people at this point who are just generally checked out on baseball because their local team isn't part of the national conversation.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things going on with the Royals on that front. I mentioned,
and the other team in town is flipped the script
right,
the other direction.
Yeah, it's, I mean, people, yeah, you know, yep. Tyreek Hill doesn't play for the Chiefs, and they're concerned about his podcast. I mean, that's where we are in the world. But, like, the TV thing's an issue because despite what their numbers say about how many people have traditional cable, my numbers tell me anecdotally, and when we've done little kind of polling things, that a lot of people who are the people they want to watch their product don't have traditional cable TV, and they've made it difficult to watch. Now, tomorrow, or I guess today is the day, you can pay them $20 a month for Bally Sports Plus. But at this point, what Royals fan is going to sign up for that now? There's nothing to do that for now. Yeah, they weren't ready.
I would pay. Well, no, I wouldn't pay because journalists don't pay. But I would. No, I wouldn't commit a crime either because that's a bad idea. I really want the numbers for how many people actually sign up for it, because I think those are going to be very interesting and very indicative of where this team is right now. Because you're right. You know, I cut the cord. I we don't have Bally Sports on YouTube TV, and you know, because ESPN is a rights holder, I have the ability to watch all games, but I'm lucky, and I'm not in the distinct minority. Like, they're just, you know, there aren't a lot of people who have the access like that and haven't been able to watch Royals games. And if I were a Royals fan right now, the question I would be asking myself, pays $20 a month for something that makes him or her angry.
Exactly.
Now, there is lots of joy to find in the Royals these days if you look hard enough. Bobby Witt Jr. has been magnificent over, you know, really since that bad first month. He's been pretty damn good. MJ Melendez is a lot of fun to watch. He's going to be an all-star catcher for many years, I think. You know, Vinny Testa's been coming up and fulfill his promise too. But by and large, there's just not a whole lot to look at right now and say, I want to go out of pocket more than I'm paying for Disney Plus, more than I'm paying for Netflix, more than I'm paying for Hulu, for HBO, and for all of the other over-the-top platforms that are out there right now that people already are paying for. $20 is it. You know, it's not an unreasonable ask when you look at it from the team's perspective, trying to set a price that's going to allow them to make the money that they're losing from the TV contracts, that many of which are going to go bust before their end. But, man, $20 a month is a heavy ask on a subscription of any variety when we've seen what the going rate is for these services that offer a lot more than just baseball every night for the next few months.
Back in May, early in May, we did a Frank Opinions poll. I gave him four options for people to check. What best describes the reason that you do or don't watch the Royals on TV? The choices were can and do, can but don't, would but can't but wouldn't anyway. And in a four-way race, would but can't got 40% of the vote. So people, as bad as
they
were
like
at that time,
it.
They watch even when they're not. So the that many people not being able to watch it is a problem, even though they have not been a very good team.
I am curious to see who's going to sign up for this at this point, because they're not any good. I mean, like, opening day, people would sign up because they wanted to watch Bobby Witt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the thing. Would but can't is one thing. But what about can't but would for $20?
Right, that's another answer now.
There you go.
Because when they first said it was going to be in line with other streaming services, so I started thinking, oh, ESPN Plus is $7 or $6 or whatever, and I can watch cricket and 30 for 30s and baseball games and hockey games and all this stuff for that. Bally's Plus at this point, they still haven't officially said, do I get to watch Tigers games too, right? Because they're in on it. There's only five major league teams. Will I get Pistons games? Or am I only getting the Thunder back, the Blues back, and the Royals? Because it's all perspective, right, Jeff? If I told you it costs $20 to park at a Royals game, you go, that stinks. Well, I could go watch 25 baseball games for $20, or I can go park one time, right? But the part of it is, I'm already paying 15 for this, and 9 for this, and 7 for this, and people are sick of that.
Yep.
And you never choose something on Netflix to watch that makes you mad, to your point, right? You don't say, God, the Hulu show's terrible. I'm going to watch all 18 episodes of it. But the Royals are a really bad show. And do you want to pay $20? You turn off a bad show, right? It's the old Seinfeld. No, you finish the book. No, you wait for the movie. No, you turn this off. And who wants to pay $20 to be angry? It's why I don't play golf, because I'm not good at it, right? So I don't want to go pay money to play golf. The Royals are in a tough spot on this one.
My child is nodding his head, by the way. That's why you don't play golf, because paying money to do something that makes you feel bad about yourself is just the ultimate cell phone.
Yeah.
Like golf, and you know what? All of us golfers who are not very good, we go out in hopes of that one shot, that one time where you just stripe a drive, or where you pick an iron clean, or where you sink a 20-foot putt, and it and it reminds you that this can be great, this can be wonderful, but the rest of it, miserable. It's absolutely miserable. And listen, I think sports does that to us maybe more than anything, right? We engage with it and we love it despite how bad it makes us feel. Like, that is diabolical right there, man. That is some crazy rationalizing that we do in the name of the ball gods.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it goes. Jeff Passan from ESPN is our guest. Before we get to the Final Four, I want to ask you about this story I saw on ESPN that you had retweeted. It's about the they're trying to get uniform mudding of the baseballs. How was there no direction on how people were supposed to mud the baseballs before? Shouldn't this have been handled years ago? Who were the culprits here? Who was not mudding the baseballs enough?
I think it was mostly an inconsistent mudding of the baseballs. But still, yes, absolutely. It should have been taken care of long ago, and there should have been uniformity for it. And I think this became a bigger issue when players started complaining about the balls. And, hey, turns out they were rightly complaining about the balls because the balls were different inside of one calendar year. Like, one season, I believe back in 2019, there were multiple different balls that got played with that year, and that's a ridiculous thing. Like, if there's no consistency or uniformity with balls, then how, if you're the players, can you calibrate what you're doing properly? The answer is you can't. So I think this, I'm hoping this is just a better late than never thing, because it damn sure is late and didn't need to be.
All right, Jeff Passan is our guest. Time for our Final Four here on the program. Jeff, we all know how this works. Four questions, quick answers, if you can. We got a little time, so if you go a little longer, that's fine.
Yeah, we got time.
We got time.
Yeah, we've been hustling
here. Okay, so the draft is coming up next month. And I'm seeing a whole bunch of mocks, and it seems like every major league player's kid is in the mocks. But who should be the number one pick in the draft? Who's the player out there?
Andrew Jones' son, Drew Jones, is the best player in the draft. And I'm not going to say it's not close, but he's clearly 1-1 on everyone's boards. The question, though, is if you're a team out there, and you're picking number one overall, and it's, in this case, the Baltimore Orioles. If you're the Orioles, do you feel like if you give a player like Jackson Holliday, who's Matt Holliday's son, or Cam Collier, who's Lou Collier's son, and you were absolutely dead on about the sons of athletes, the second best player in the draft, talent-wise, might be Elijah Green, the son of former Steelers tight end Eric Green. If you give one of those other guys, the non-Drew Jones group, say $2 million under the slot that you're given money-wise, you can take that $2 million and apply it later in the draft. Is your overall draft class going to be better by going that route rather than going for the clear-cut guy at 1-1? And that's what the Orioles are trying to figure out. They have done a number of deals in recent years with their top pick, so it would not be out of character with them. And if you see Drew Jones going second overall to the Diamondbacks, that's why.
That'll be why. All right.
Although
secondly,
we all know that sons of former major leaguers are always a success. Mondesi.
Well, Bobby Witt's okay, Curtis. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking. All right. I wanted to let Jeff talk about Mondesi.
Shohei Ohtani has an arbitration year left. I'm sure the Angels would love to sign him. He's great value for them, whatever. What sort of dollars will he command when he, assuming he doesn't get hurt or something, have some tragic, you know, elbow injury or something like that? What sort of dollars will he command on the unrestricted free agent market?
Okay, so let's say he continues at this rate of production for this season and next season. He will be hitting free agency at 29 years old at that point. So it's still before his 30th. He turns 28 in a couple of weeks. It'll still be before his 30th birthday. I think Shohei Ohtani very reasonably could ask for 10 years at $40 to $45 million a year.
Mm.
And why? Like, if you're a team, why would you not consider doing that? You're getting two players in one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting a great power hitter and a great pitcher. If you're willing to go out there and spend $43 million, a year over 3 years for Max Scherzer, a guy like Ohtani, who's, 85, 90% of a good Scherzer, maybe even higher than that, and you get a power hitter out of it, like one of the best power hitters in baseball, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's going to come down to years at that point. I don't know how high the years are going to go, but the AAV, I think, will be record-setting.
I'm expecting the Royals not to be involved in that bidding. That's just me.
Yeah, I don't think the Royals are going to be in the center of that.
Okay, thirdly, what sporting event? I'm going up to the College World Series Saturday to watch my Sooners play. I've never been. I've never been before. What sporting event have you not been to that you would like to go to?
I haven't been to a Super Bowl.
Oh, you got to get you to a Super Bowl passing.
Yeah, haven't been to a Super Bowl. I've done World Series. I've done Stanley Cup. Never done NBA Finals. Never been to the Masters, but whatever. I've done a U.S. Open. I've done Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics. I would really like to go to Koshien. I was supposed to go to Koshien, which is the national high school baseball tournament in Japan. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go, and a torrential downpour came down and completely ruined that. So that was a bummer.
That stinks. All right, and finally, I know you love music. Give me a band who I don't maybe know about that I should be listening to. What do you got fresh and new for me?
Have you heard of Zach Bryan?
I'm writing it down right now. What's Zach Bryan all about?
Zach Bryan is a singer-songwriter who's in the military, who it's just him and his guitar mainly, and writes poignant, sad, uplifting, all sorts of sort of country-tinged lyrics that are just fantastic.
He's super. Check it out. I will put it on the playlist right now. Jeff Passan, thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay, buddy?
Thank you, boys. Have a good one.
See ya.
Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. He'll be back on Monday. I want to play three things really quickly, Curtis. Tyreek Hill's podcast had another edition come out. And I'm going to play this. This beginning is his co-host Julius and him talking about what a stir they caused with their first podcast.
It went crazy, right?
A lot has happened.
It went crazy.
It went crazy.
You ran track. I even tweeted. This is what we would call a false start.
A false start?
When you see the snippets and the media went insane, they automatically jumped to a conclusion.
Right.
You didn't even answer.
Right.
I just asked a simple question, right?
Right.
A simple question of, boom, boom, boom. We ain't going to repeat it because we know they're going to go crazy again, right, about the stats. They went absolutely insane when it was solely a question that they didn't even get the answer to.
Right, and that's
by the snippet.
And to me, like, that's just another situation where my mom always told me, you never judge a book by its cover, you know? And the whole thing ain't even out yet.
Right.
You know, so you just be patient, man. I just feel like a lot of people just overreacted for no reason. Like, they saw what you said, and they really didn't see what I said, you know?
Right.
So
right.
A lot of people are just acting off emotion.
But that's a problem, you know, that the media and the journalists have to deal with, right? A lot of them they've gotten to the point where they don't care about reporting the truth.
Okay, I agree with that. But you put the snippets out. You edited the snippets to make it look like these things were happening.
Yes.
This is 100%, 99% on you. And then you tweet out that you got everyone's panties in a wad, and you did it on purpose.
And okay? That you liked it.
So I'm going to show you a little. I didn't spend long on this, but I'm going to play two things. One thing is something that's edited together of a longer part, and then it'll be the longer part. So play this next one, Adam. Tell me what you think about what Tyreek Hill says here.
When I signed my deal with the Dolphins, you know, Coach McDaniels and the owner, Mr. Ross, they really changed my family life. Now we really living different. Like, I know a lot of people say, he's selfish. Nah, bro. At the end of the day, I gotta look out for what's best for me.
Well, okay. So a lot of people think I'm selfish, but at the end of the day, I gotta look out for me. That is actually the definition of being selfish.
Yes.
Okay. But if you listen to this in a longer context without a couple of edits in there, this is what the whole thing sounds like.
at the end of the day, dog, I gotta take care of my family, man.
Right.
You know, because they are the ones they are the ones who supported me. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who comfort me whenever I'm going through whatever I'm going through in life. You know, so shout out to grandparents, mom, dad, everybody, man. So that's why I do this game, and that's why I love this game, dog. And when I signed my deal with the Dolphins, you know, Coach McDaniels and the owner, Mr. Ross, they really changed my family life. I signed one with the Chiefs, you know, for $18 million a year. But when I came to the Dolphins, that's like a whole new level mm-hmm. of, like, stardom, you know. So that really changed my family's life, man. So now we really living different, you know. So, man, I'm very committed to this Dolphins team, man, to the day I die, and I'm gonna give every ounce, and like I'm here to win a championship, bro. So that's the only thing that I really got to get off my chest, bro. Like I do this for my family, bro. Like
right. Like
I know a lot of people say, he's selfish. Nah, bro. At the end of the day, I gotta look out for what's best for me,
right?
My kids, my parents, my grandparents, mm-hmm. my girl. Like all of that, man.
Right.
Like it's tough leaving a situation like we had in Kansas City. It's tough, bro.
So which one does he sound better in?
The second one.
Oh. So when you put together a short snippet and put it out, it can be inflammatory? All right, Julius, don't blame the media for this crap. Okay? You guys put out leading snippets. That's what you did. Now I don't think you looked all that much better when the whole thing came out either.
No.
But it still was better than the other. That's what can happen. Don't accuse someone of jumping to conclusions when you force them to jump to conclusions with the way you do it. Now, the one thing I got a real problem with that he said in there, apparently the $18 million a year wasn't enough to really change your life. You got to check yourself, Tyreek. That's life-changing money. By the way, the first signing bonus you ever got is a fifth-round draft pick. When he told the story earlier in the podcast that he lived with his grandparents for a year in high school and they didn't have power, if the money you got, a couple hundred thousand dollars, wasn't life-changing money when you went through everything you went through in college, then you need to check yourself. It's pretty amazing how quickly we go from we were living in a house with no lights to $18 million wasn't exactly enough life-changing for me. Yeah. Anyway.
And we're not
talking about it a lot, but right. I just wanted to play those three things to demonstrate for you what it's like.
But even on the previous statement, the idea that it isn't just their responsibility for putting out the edited clips that were reacted to that way. It was their intent.
Yes.
It's one thing to make a mistake. Well, this is just what you saw, and you overreacted. Their intent was to get people to overreact. Tyreek Hill said it himself,
mm-hmm.
and then they respond to the overreaction by saying, everyone's blown us out of proportion. What are you doing?
And he mentioned
we're doing exactly what you wanted us to do.
And he mentioned two times in this thing that he had gotten threats on his life and his DMs and stuff mm-hmm. like that. That's ridiculous. People shouldn't do that.
Yes.
You shouldn't. That's bad. You should not do that. And he mentioned that in there. Says, you know, do whatever you want. Don't talk about my kids. Don't do my stuff, whatever.
Yes.
I think he learned a lesson on that. I hope he did. We'll see if he did, though. Stump the Chumps is next here on the program.
All right, who is the Angels' career leader in hits? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.